Welcome to the Dynasty Nerds Fantasy Football Podcast, where we discuss dynasty strategy, rankings, and all things NFL. So get ready to geek out on fantasy football with your host, Rich Dotson.
Welcome back into the Dynasty Nerds Podcast. No Rich Dotson this week. He is off gallivanting, but we've got the two of us, myself, Garrett Price, and Mr. Matt O'Hare. How's it going?
I'm doing well, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. We have a special show, a little different than normal. We did a startup with the Nerd Herd yesterday, and boy, oh boy, it's a very interesting startup. We have, first of all, rookie picks were included in this draft.
Right.
Second of all, 2025 picks were also included.
Not really rookies. I mean, not rookie picks. They were their 2024 rookies themselves were in here, and then the 2025 picks.
That's correct. Yeah. Okay. So you could take the actual player. So you'll see where Caleb Williams goes. You'll see where Marvin Harrison Jr. and all these guys. You'll see where they go, which I think is kind of helpful for us to be able to gauge how do we really feel about these players compared to guys that are already in the league. So I do think that. Just in that sense, it's a helpful exercise when you go to make trades on draft day. And granted, we don't know their landing spots yet, but I think it's a helpful exercise. But then you add in the 2025 pick element, which does make this a fun but rather difficult exercise.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, Dynasty Nerds. It's time to take your Dynasty game to the next level with FFPC's Dynasty Startup Leagues. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just getting started, FFPC has a league for you with entry fees ranging from $100 up to $5,000. Choose from a variety of formats, including Superflex, Best Ball Superflex, Triflex, 1QB, and Standard. With weekly lineups, waivers, trades, head-to-head matchups, and playoffs, FFPC's fully managed leagues provide the ultimate dynasty experience. Most importantly, the leagues are here to stay. FFPC has never had a dynasty league fold. They manage the entire commissioner experience from buy-in management to fulfilling your orphans. FFPC is perfect place to expand your dynasty league portfolio. And here's the best part. As Dynasty Nerds listener, you can get $25 off any entry fee as a new member when you use the promo code NERDS. Head over to myffpc.com now to draft your team, manage your roster, and dominate your league with FFPC. That's myffpc.com. Promo code NERDS for $25 off any entry fee for new members. FFPC, where dynasty dreams become a reality.
Yeah, absolutely. And we did one of these earlier, but it was, you know, the 2024 picks were just blank picks. You know what I mean? It was 1.01. It was 1.02. So I think it does give us a little bit more context to have the actual players in here. And then, you know, it's still just a fun element to have the 2025 picks in there as well to kind of just add a little bit of excitement and kind of just another twist, right, into the startup drafts.
And we saw some people take advantage of that. They were all in on some of those picks. Other people did not touch them with a 10-foot pole. And it's tough because we have some idea as to what next year's class looks like, but obviously a lot can change between then and now. And it hasn't been hyped quite to the same level that this year's class was. And I think at this point, rightfully so, we'll have to see if guys like Quinn Ewers and Shedeur Sanders and some of those guys take a big next step. But outside of them doing that, it's hard to imagine next year's class getting the same level of hype and excitement as this year's class. So, Matt, before we kick it off, anything else that you want to touch on? Any of your thoughts going into the draft? Did you have a particular strategy? Anything you want to talk about before we kick things off?
So, yeah, I mean, going into this draft, you know, I wanted to be a little bit different than normal, right? So I was going to I purposely picked the number 7 pick because I thought it might be tempting enough that I would go ahead and pick Justin Jefferson at that spot. Uh-huh. We'll see if I did when it gets to me. But that was kind of my thought going into it. I was like, I'm going to approach this one a little bit differently than I normally would in a startup, because normally I'm just a quarterback, figure out the kind of rest, maybe even a tight end first, and then kind of go from there. But the way this one fell and kind of my first pick, I think threw a monkey wrench and all that. So I guess we'll see when we get there, but let's get into it. How about you? Did you have anything crazy going on in your strategy mind there for this particular startup?
I think I mentioned this last time, but I think the top two quarterbacks offer such an advantage that I love to get in there and get the number two pick. You pick whoever you want at one. I don't care if it's Mahomes or Allen. Give me the other one, and then we can move on from there. So so I love the two pick right now, and it changes per year. You know, each year has its own different element to it. If guys like Anthony Richardson and Justin Herbert and CJ Stroud and maybe Caleb Williams, they take like a big step forward this year, maybe that gap isn't as big, and you know, then I would rather be at the 6, 7, 8 pick. But right now, I do think that there's just enough of a tier between those top two guys and everybody else that I kind of like to get inside that tier.
Yeah, that's what makes total sense. And they are the difference makers. They're the best two guys in the league. And I guess one more thing I want to add is we were on a 1 minute clock, so this was a fast draft. And pressure. There is a lot of pressure in that. I haven't done one of those in a long time. And there was a couple of times where I was scrambling to figure out who I wanted to, because I was just trying in between picks. I'm trying to like load up a queue. I'm trying to figure out who just got picked. There's a lot going on in these fast drafts. So bear in mind that some of these might've been hasty picks, but they were there. Right.
Are you already deflecting? All right.
No. I'm trying to for Jared. How about that?
Oh, because all right. So that's true. We did have another member of the podcast in the draft. He's not able to be on the show tonight, but Jared Wackerly did draft with us. He's at pick 10. So if you didn't pick it up before, I'm at pick 2. Matt is at pick 10. Matt's at pick 7. Jared's at pick 10. And then I think Coach Steve, who's one of our writers, he's at pick 11 as well. I think that's it for people that we have on staff. But we're going to mainly focus on my team at pick 2, Matt's at pick 7, and Jared's at pick 10. So let's get into it. So right away, Josh Allen first off the board, which left me with Pat Mahomes. I was not upset about that. But in a real draft, even with being at that spot, I love to trade. So if somebody can give me the right offer to get one of those top two guys, I'll always listen, but it's not going to be cheap. I picked that spot for a reason. So you're going to have to pay up quite a bit. So Patrick Mahomes went off the board there. And then what I've kind of noticed is number 3 is pretty up in the air right now. I've seen a lot of different routes.
Obviously in this one, you know, it goes CJ Stroud, and I'm gonna let the cat out of the bag here. But it could be Justin Herbert. Yeah, exactly. It could be Justin Herbert. It could be, you know, Hurts if that's your flavor, or you know, Lamar Jackson's probably a little bit early for him. I think he's usually going in the 5 to 6 range. In years past, it's been guys like Joe Burrow going right there. But it shows really how the community values the youth and the upside of a CJ Stroud, right? That he went number 3 right here.
Absolutely. So it's CJ Stroud that goes number 3. Justin Herbert goes number 4, which is a little high for some people. I know there's a lot of people, and somewhat rightfully so, concerned about who the heck is he going to throw the football to? And Jim Harbaugh comes in there as a much more run game oriented than maybe some other coaches might be. So maybe a little early for some people, not for me. That is roughly where I have him right now. So I have no problem with him at 4, but I know it could be a little early for some people. Jalen Hurts goes at 5. Lamar Jackson goes at 6. And then Matt, you're up. So we have 6 quarterbacks off the board, but still some young studs left. What did you decide to do? Did you go Jefferson or did you go with one of these young QBs?
So yeah, this was my dilemma. And going into it, I thought I'm going to go Justin Jefferson and see how this draft turns out.
Yeah.
And then when I got to my pick and Joe Burrow was still sitting there staring me in the face, I went back and forth. And like I said, 1 minute, right? We only got 1 minute to make this decision. It was tick, tick, ticking away. And I was like, no, I have to go Joe Burrow here. I don't care what I was thinking, my preconceived notions going into this draft. I didn't think that Joe Burrow would be there. I thought I'd be staring at more likely a Lamar Jackson or Caleb Williams. And I like both those players, don't get me wrong. But I think I would have been able to maybe just in my head justify the fact that I can go Justin Jefferson over those two guys.
Sure.
But Joe Burrow, I know he's got an injury history, but I just think he is that good. And once he gets, you know, Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins on the field this next coming in incoming year here, I think there's going to be a lot going on there and he's going to be a fantasy stud. So I want Joe Burrow here.
Let me ask a question real quickly, because I don't think this is anything we've covered on the Dynasty Nerds show yet, but you could make an argument that one of the losers of the offseason is Justin Jefferson. He goes from having a very solid, a very capable, a very accurate quarterback to right now, Sam Darnold is the leader in the clubhouse to be their starting quarterback. And they've made some trades, so it looks like they're going to move up in the draft, maybe get a guy like a J.J. McCarthy, somebody like that. But for right now, you went from a very stable and steady situation to a very volatile situation. Does that change either your short-term and or long-term outlook on Justin Jefferson at all?
It does my short-term, for sure, because there's just unknown and who knows what's going on. It doesn't affect my long-term at all with him. Just because, I mean, he hasn't signed, right? I mean, he could potentially end up somewhere else. I don't think that's going to happen. You know, they could control him with the fifth-year option and a couple of, franchise tags here for the next couple of years, or 3 years probably, and be fine. So I don't think he's going anywhere. But there is a lot of uncertainty. I would feel great if he did get a young quarterback in here. I wouldn't feel great if it was Sam Darnold. You know what I mean? We've seen right. him and I don't think the long-term outlook for Sam Darnold is great. So I would much rather pair him with a fresh young quarterback and they've got some good weapons there. Right. I mean, so any young quarterback going there they're really going to have some tools to work with. And really the running game last year was kind of the thing that was lacking, and they went out and got Aaron Jones and really solidified stuff. And they spent a first round draft pick on a really talented pro ready wide receiver last year also. So there's just lots of pieces there. So I think a young guy could slide in and do well. J.J. McCarthy particularly, I think, would be a guy that could come in and operate that offense very efficiently. And there wouldn't be that much of a drop off, you know, probably in year two. Year one, there's going to be bumps in the road for any young quarterback. So there will be a little bit of volatility there. But for the most part, I think his long-term value is slightly depressed, but his long-term value is still, you know, sky's the limit for a guy like Justin Jefferson.
Makes perfect sense. Next two picks were also quarterbacks. So 9 straight quarterbacks off the board. So we see Caleb Williams go at 1-8 and then Anthony Richardson go at 1-9. So we get to our boy J-Wack. And he does go with the aforementioned Justin Jefferson, which I think was a good pick. At that point, any of the quarterbacks trying to get them into the first round feels like a bit of a reach. I think you can make an argument for some of the guys, but he took the best available player on the board. But can't fault him for that.
No doubt about it. I think that was a nice pick.
Yeah. So Coach Steve, he goes with CeeDee Lamb there. Ja'Marr Chase is the next one off the board. And then what happens when we start round two here?
Round two, I think this was a bit of a shocker because obviously 3 guys go bang, 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 wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver. I was thinking, okay, here comes the run. These guys are going to grab their first quarterbacks here in the second round. And none of the next 3 guys did. So the next 3 picks are Amon-Ra St. Brown, Bijan Robinson, and then the first rookie off the board in the first non-quarterback rookie off the board in Marvin Harrison. So it was the three guys that took wide receivers in the first round went wide receiver, running back, wide receiver. So that was, a bit of a shock to me. And it, I don't know if it, you know, like I went into this thing thinking I was going to be the crazy one and doing all this stuff. And then all of a sudden here at the turn, the last three guys in the first round and the first three guys in the second round don't touch quarterback at all. So the draft went a little sideways here, I feel like, and then it just starts getting kind of stranger. So Anthony Richardson, or, you know, the person that took Anthony Richardson, ended up getting Kyler Murray in the second round. So that's, a nice pairing. There's absolutely a lot of volatility there, but there's a lot of upside and potential there. And then Breece Hall went, and then I was up on the clock again. And this is, you know, this is a super flex tight end premium league. And I didn't get funky in the first round, right? So here in the second round, I'm like, I'm going to get funky. I'm going to do something here. I'm going to take the first tight end off the board, and I want Sam Laporta. So, you know, like it, love it. He's the best guy, you know, from a dynasty fantasy football purposes at the tight end at the tight end position, and it's a premium position here in this draft. So, I wanted to shake things up. Want Sam Laporta.
Yeah, I think that's a great pick. I was kind of hoping that he was going to fall a little further. I thought that there was a decent chance that I could get him right around the turn. And yeah, I should have known with you in the draft that he wouldn't make it that far because I've drafted with you before and you tend to hoard tight ends. So I should not have been surprised. But no, I think, especially considering it was tight end premium, I think it's a really good pick. We see how long some of these tight ends have been playing recently. So obviously the longevity is potentially there for a guy like Sam Laporta, but had an amazing rookie season, basically the exact same offense coming back this year. So you don't really have any big worries that he's going to lose a bunch of targets to someone or a quarterback change or anything weird like that. It's the same team. It's the same system. And we kind of project it to stay that way for the next couple of years. So for as far out as we know, he's going to be in a really good spot. So I think it's a really good pick of Sam Laporta there as the sixth pick in the second round.
And another thing that kind of went in my head as far as picking this guy, everyone that's coming up has already had, they've already picked one quarterback, right? You know what I mean? Everyone behind me has none, you know, and everyone in front of me already has at least one. So I thought there was a decent chance that I could get a quarterback coming back, at least someone that I liked. So I'm going to take the high end talent at tight end, the number one guy on my board at tight end, and see who kind of falls to me in the third round. So after I picked Laporta, AJ Brown went, which I think is a pretty nice pick there. Then Jordan Love, which is one of the guys I was like crossing my fingers. I didn't think he was going to come back, but I was like, if he comes back, that would be a miracle. He only lasted two picks. So that guy wasn't coming back. Trevor Lawrence was there at 2-9. And then Malik Nabers, the second wide receiver, rookie wide receiver, went off the board here at 2-10. Garrett, early, I have not done Nabers yet. I watched one video, but I haven't done my deep dive on him yet. Any thoughts on him going this high in the draft for you? Because I think you have done a little bit more.
Yeah. I've given him a nerd score. I'm not going to reveal it here. I'll wait till we do our episode on Malik Nabers.
Sure.
But this is a hair higher than I'm comfortable, but I do think the hype is warranted. Nabers is a very, very talented player, very explosive player. Lots of stuff with yards after the catch that he can make happen. I don't think he's in the same tier as Marvin Harrison. Watching his tape, I'm a little surprised that people... I could see them having him close, but I don't know how people would have him equal to or better than Marvin Harrison Jr. So that is a little surprising to me. So maybe about a half a round higher than I would feel comfortable starting to take him, but I don't think it's crazy far off.
Right, and you're not revealing anything you didn't already say on Twitter. That's why I felt comfortable asking you.
Yeah,
absolutely. Because I know you did tweet a little bit of this stuff out already.
Yeah, yep, absolutely. So then I'm up. I'm up at
that's right.
211. So I had a couple different routes I thought about going. And I think I mentioned it last time we did a startup because I did something similar. I don't remember if it was in the second round or third round, but I was in the same spot and I took Gibbs. I took Jahmyr Gibbs, running back for the Detroit Lions. And part of this is just kind of knowing the current landscape. There are only a handful of running backs that I think are worthy of a top 2 to 3 round selection. There's not many. And
two of them already went. Bijan Robinson and Breece Hall already off the board.
Yep. Exactly. So, and I have a hard time taking an older running back at this point, even though guys like McCaffrey, Jonathan Taylor, like they might be worth it from a short-term standpoint, but long-term, it's really, really hard for me to take a running back that I don't think I can get at least 3 to 4 years out of. So Gibbs really kind of stood alone, and then there's kind of a tier break for me. So I took Jahmyr Gibbs here, and I feel pretty good about it. In years past, I'm not taking a running back typically until rounds 4, 5, 6. But here, with the current landscape, how strong wide receiver is, knowing that this class in particular is extra strong at wide receiver, it was that extra motivation I needed to take a running back here in this spot.
Nerds, listen up. This is your last chance to take advantage of our free year offer through our promotion with Underdog Fantasy. Deposit at least $10 with Underdog using a promo code NERDS and receive a free 1 year membership to Nerd Herd and the Dynasty GM bundle subscription to Dynasty Nerds. So you get everything we've always been talking about for a $10 deposit on Underdog using that promo code NERDS. This offer closes on April 30th, so don't miss out. We are almost through all our rookie breakdowns, and right now you can take advantage of these insights by drafting best ball teams, including this 2024 rookie class. Draft your team and don't worry about setting a lineup, making trades, or paying attention to the waiver wire. Use your leg up on these rookies against your competition. Remember, deposit at least $10 at Underdog using a promo code NERDS, and you'll receive a 100% deposit match up to $100 and a one-year free Dynasty GM and Nerd Herd bundle membership. Hurry up. This offer closes on April 30th. Must be 18 plus, 19 plus Alabama, Nebraska, 21 plus Massachusetts and Arizona, and presented in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. In New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NEW-YORK. In Tennessee, call 1-800-889-9789. Hey guys, let me tell you about our friends at Sleeper. Guess what? Our app is the mini is live on Sleeper right now. The Dynasty so GM, pretty. You use the analyzer, that you can use nice. the trade calculator. And my favorite thing is the inbox, right? Where all your trades from all your Sleeper leagues are right there. You can actually push trades through the actual Sleeper app. And right now we couldn't be more excited to be partners with them. And right now, if you don't know, they are doing DFS. And I know how many people that play Dynasty play DFS as well. And right now there's not a better place to play DFS than Sleeper. They're offering up to 100 times your entry, the highest payout in the whole DFS market right now. You can track your fantasy players and your Sleeper picks in real time. All you gotta do is choose 2 to 8 of your favorite players from pregame, live in-game, or even across different sports. Pick more or less than predicted stats, and only on Sleeper you get up to 100 times your payout. You can share with your friends and get rewarded together. Make sure you use that promo code NERD so our friends know that friends sent them their way. And get your deposit match and friendly. Have a good time. You know, have all your DFS, all of your fantasy leagues, and now even a Dynasty GM in one spot is fully operational inside Sleeper right now. And then when you're a Nerd Herd member, you get that full access to that. And remember, you also want to download the Dynasty Nerds app because they're both in there. Check it out. Check out our friend Sleeper. Check out the DFS. Use that promo code NERDS.
Get your whole estate set. Yeah, and it's a great pick. That's what kind of led me to fade the wide receivers as well, thinking, hey, there's not only a lot of wide receivers already in the league, this is also a good class for him. I can kind of push that to the side. And that was another thought going into why I was going to get a little bit funky and just take Justin Jefferson and then maybe fade wide receivers completely. And then I just kind of faded them for a while after I chose not to take Jefferson in the first round. So the last pick in the second round, they ended up grabbing Puka Nacua, which for me feels a little early. There's probably some guys I would have taken ahead of him, but with the outstanding performance he had in his rookie season, I get it. You know what I mean? Like he's young and he just went bonkers. So I understand why he's there, but I probably would have taken Garrett Wilson ahead of him or Jalen Waddle, just because I think their long-term value is a little bit more stable. But that's just me. So on to round three, sir. You are up.
Yeah, round three got real interesting real fast because the team that picked first overall, they have Josh Allen and Puka Nacua now. And I was wondering when this guy was going to go. I didn't necessarily anticipate him being tight end two, but I've heard it whispered, and so I shouldn't have been overly surprised, but Brock Bowers, second tight end off the board as a true rookie. We don't even know what team he's on yet. So, Matt, for you, as a guy that is big team tight end guy, how did you feel? Team tight end, that's Matt O'Hara.
Yeah,
how did you feel about taking Brock Bowers with the first pick of the third round?
I get it, right? I mean, we've seen him in college do some things at a very young age, and really the expectation is that he's going to be able to seamlessly go do that stuff in the NFL. We'll see if that happens, but I do think he's the talent, the type of talent that can. So you only got one shot at a guy like this, right? And in the draft like this, it's now. You overdraft these guys knowing that, hey, in another year or so, this is going to be a pretty decent value, maybe even a half round to a little bit more, who knows. So that's why I like the pick there. I think obviously it's early, but if you wait, you're never going to get a shot at him, because if he hits, no one's going to ever trade him. So that's how these guys roll. That's how it is. That's why Sam Laporta, who probably a year ago would have been going in the fifth round, sixth round, you know, somewhere crazy like that, in a startup before the draft happened, probably even later, you know what I mean? Like way later. And now he's going in the middle of the second round of a startup in a tight end premium. So Bowers could have a similar trajectory. Obviously, a lot's going to depend on where he goes and what kind of opportunity he actually has.
Yeah.
But the talent's there. So that's for why sure. I feel okay about this. And it's rookie hype. You know, what are you going to do, it's man? The rookie season. Hype is real.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. For sure. And for me, I think I might have some Kyle Pitts PTSD. And even TJ Hockenson, you know, another top 10 pick at the position where
sure.
they came out as rookies and looked pretty solid as rookies. And then just never grew from there, at least as far as a statistical standpoint. And then obviously Hockenson left and went to Minnesota, and great things happened for him there. And who
was throwing him the ball?
Good old Kirky Cousins.
And now who's throwing Pitts the ball? Well,
throwing it to Kyle Pitts, who, you know, I actually did a video recently where I've moved Pitts all the way up to my tight end three, which is maybe a little greedy, a little overhyped. Yeah. I don't know. But it's another one of those situations where he had a fantastic rookie season. We see all of the potential, and it's not even just the new quarterback. It's the new coach too. You put both of those things together, feel a lot better. But so a little rich for me, just because I do think tight end is one of the more scheme and situation dependent positions, more so than some of the other spots. So that's why I struggle with it, but I get it. I don't think it's a bad pick. I just don't think I have the stomach for it. That being said,
you're very risk adverse. That's what it is,
especially early. Yep.
And he's a huge risk, and that's your MO. And you went Jahmyr Gibbs, who is a fantastic player, and no risk right before that, and. And who'd you go here with the next pick? Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good. No, it's a guy that, I mean, maybe has a little more risk today now that we heard that they're not going to extend him. but I went with Dak Prescott here at pick 3-2. I definitely liked a lot of the quarterbacks in this range. And in fact, I was debating between three quarterbacks. I thought about Dak Prescott. I thought about Tua as a potential option. Mm-hmm. And I thought about Jaden Daniels as a potential option here. I was a little more open to the risk of Daniels because I had Pat Mahomes. You know, it makes it a little bit easier to play for the upside. But still, before
but ultimately round, you took the safe you took the safe player.
What I thought was the safe route. Yes. Took the safe route and Dak Prescott. Before rounds four ish, I play it pretty safe. So Dak Prescott was my pick there. Garrett Wilson goes 3-3. Christian McCaffrey goes 3-4. Chris Olave goes pick 3-5. Then we start to have a little run on quarterbacks here. Tua goes at pick 3-6. And we're starting to run out of quarterbacks here. Still a few left, though, Matt. Who'd you end up going with?
So I ended up getting Brock Purdy here. This was the guy that I was really – when I took Sam LaPorta, I was hoping either Jordan Love, Tua, or Brock Purdy would come back to me. I would be okay if Dak came back to me. So those were all guys that are on the board that I was like – thinking, hey, if I take LaPorta here, I'm hoping one of these guys falls. And the last guy on my hope he falls list was sitting there, Brock Purdy. So it was a very quick pick for me. It didn't take me very long. I wanted to get my second quarterback, and he was the last guy I felt really good about. Obviously, without dipping my toe into the rookie waters, which I just didn't want to at this point. I wasn't really I'm not really that comfortable with any of these young rookie quarterbacks. I think we remember how grumpy I was during the quarterback shows. So I think I'm going to be fading quarterback pretty generally this year in a lot of drafts, unless, you know, it's a super flex league and it's appropriate. I went Purdy. I felt pretty good about it. Before we move on, though, do you want to get into any of that Dak Prescott news that we kind of just alluded to before we move past him completely? I mean, it sounds like Jerry Jones kind of very noncommittal, right?
Yeah, and I think that's the best way to put it. There's no actual news. It's not like they're saying that they're going to move on from Dak Prescott after this year. It's not like they're saying they're not going to do it, but it kind of sounds like both sides have kind of dug their heels in. Neither side's kind of really willing to move, and both are kind of playing chicken at this point to see if the other one's going to balk. And so far, neither one has. And so this very well could lead to Dak Prescott not being on the Dallas Cowboys next year after the 2024 season. So this would be for 2025, and they could potentially go after a free agent. They could, you know, go after a rookie guy. We'll kind of have to see. This is a team that, you know, has been getting a little bit older. So maybe they do think that they need to hit the reset button a little bit. We'll see.
Head coach on the last year of his deal. Now quarterback on the last year of his deal. Anyone else on the last year of their deals there? I mean, I feel like that alone, I mean, a lot of older guys, I feel like they're either going to do it this year and things are going to be great, or there might be a lot of change in Dallas coming up here.
I could see
in
that.
The very near future. So I do feel like it's kind of getting to that point. So I just wanted to mention that just so it's in the back of people's heads. You know, you have CeeDee Lamb. You think he's a very comfy little cozy guy. His situation could be completely different a year from now than it is right now. Kind of just like Justin Jefferson's is, you know, it's just unknown. There's unknown going into it. So I figured we might
for what it's worth, though. The only thing that still makes me feel okay about this is there was a market for Gardner Minshew out there. If there's a market for Gardner Minshew, Dak Prescott will land on his feet somewhere. I don't know where.
I'm not.
But he'll land on his feet.
I'm not worried about Dak. Yeah, I'm not worried about Dak going. I think he's going to find a job. He's a. If Kirk Cousins can find a job, Kirk Cousins has had very similar, very good statistical in season numbers, but has struggled in the playoffs. It's the same story for Dak Prescott. So if there's a market for Kurt, there's definitely a market for a guy that's 5 or 6 years younger than him out there on the open market as well with very similar skill sets.
Yep, absolutely. So you took Brock Purdy. Jaden Daniels was the next one to go. So I picked 3-8. We have a rookie off the board, another rookie quarterback off the board, the second one. And then the third rookie receiver goes off the board at pick 3-9. So Rome Odunze, I watched his tape today, actually, and I was very enthused. Really, really like his tape. I'm excited to break down the top of this class, but I tweeted it out today. The top three in this class, I'd put them up against any class that we've seen since Julio and AJ Green. Like the top three in this class are extremely legitimately talented receivers that can win a lot of ways. So it's a fun top of the draft for those receivers. And then our boy J-Wack was back on the board. He went with Jonathan Taylor at pick 310. So would
this
have thought,
was a surprise.
You know,
I thought this was Drake May all day, right?
Yeah.
The first quarterback for J-Wack. Instead, he's got Justin Jefferson, Marvin Harrison, and Jonathan Taylor so far. So
very surprised.
This was a surprise pick. Yep.
Yeah, I would have not. And not that I think Taylor in and of himself is in the wrong range. Like end of the third, beginning of the fourth is probably about the right range for Jonathan Taylor. I was just surprised that Jared was the one to take him. With how things are currently structured for him. So we'll see how things go. But then Coach Steve didn't take a quarterback either. He went with Tyreek Hill.
This is so weird. Yep.
So
far, nothing. No quarterbacks those last three picks through three rounds so far.
And to round it out, Jaylen Waddle was pick 312. So not a quarterback there as well. So for the only teams that did not have a quarterback through two rounds, they also did not have a quarterback through three rounds. So playing chicken at the quarterback position. Look, there is, even though I traditionally do not like to do that, there's some good value on other positions by playing it that way. If you can be smart and secure, really solid veteran quarterbacks or young upside guys that are unproven later on in the draft. You know, if you can get, I'm not going to say names because we have to see how things play out.
Right.
But we'll get to it. We'll get to it. So you go ahead and start round four.
To piggyback off you before I go on round four, I'm not the type of guy that would do that. I do not like that feeling. I've been in super flex leagues when I first started doing them and I didn't have enough quarterbacks. And I felt like you're just scrambling forever to kind of get them. You know what I mean? So it doesn't feel great. With that said,
it is possible though. I literally won a championship this year with my quarterbacks being Baker Mayfield and Derek Carr. So it's possible.
You must have been exceptional everywhere else, like obviously.
Pretty my running backs and wide receivers. It's the UDPL league that I'm in with Rich there. But my running backs were monsters. I had Christian McCaffrey, Josh Jacobs, Derrick Henry, Ramondre, Tyjae, and Zamir. So I had like a lot. I was really deep and really good at the top end. Yeah. And then at receiver, I have Amon-Ra St. Brown, Godwin, I'm trying to remember.
Puka. Was Puka there?
Puka was not in there. I do not have a lot of Puka. I had one Puka share. But anyway, it's possible. It can be done. It's just, it is a bit of an uphill battle.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, speaking of uphill battles, here we go. 4.41. Was the first quarterback taken in this little group of three that were playing chicken. Jared Goff goes off the board. So great, I think, pick. You know, he's a solid pick. Yes. To be able to get him in the fourth round is great. To have him as your first quarterback, I don't love it, but I think he can be done. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like especially in a scenario that you were just talking about. If everything else is really, really strong, I think Jared Goff is a fine option. I think he's better as your second quarterback, but I think he's one of those guys that's borderline.
Nice paired with Amon-Ra St. Brown too. You get that nice little stack there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So that is nice, a nice bonus. So at 4-2, this was, I think, a bit of a surprise for me. Trey McBride, obviously he had a fantastic finish to the season last year. Once he took over that role, I mean, not even finished, like it was, two-thirds of the season. So I get him being that high. I just think I would have taken maybe a couple other people ahead of him in a tight end premium. So I guess to each his own. I'm not gonna go too deep into that one. But the next pick is Jared's pick in the fourth round. He went Justin Tucker, which for us was
he took a kicker. What?
He took a kicker? Say what? It's the 1-1. So this is going to be his likely quarterback of the future here at the 1-1 in the 2025 pick, or 2025 draft. So that to me is a nice pick. You have Justin Jefferson, Marvin Harrison, Jonathan Taylor. You're building something, pretty young and impressive at the wide receiver position. Jonathan Taylor's no spring chicken, but he's not old either. He's going to be around.
That's where those two things didn't fit for me. I wish he would have went a different route other than Jonathan Taylor there if he was going with that young build.
Right. I totally get that. I think he would say, and I know he would say this because I was busting his chops about his draft, that he was building to win now and to win in the future. And that was
guess
his
what? You didn't either, sucker.
That's what I said. Well, you can't do any of these because we get to trash these when we're done.
Yeah,
so it's fine. So the next player up was Drake London, then Brandon Ayuk, both, young, good wide receivers there. Who knows what's going to happen with Brandon Ayuk if he's talking his way out of San Francisco or if they're going to get something worked out. That's kind of a situation to monitor. Obviously, Drake London's for sure. Situation has gotten exponentially better.
Way better.
With Kirk Cousins in town. We'll see if the talent shines through or if maybe he wasn't quite the prospect some people thought he was. This will be the time that we see it with Kirk Cousins throwing the ball. And then I was up here at 4-6. I ended up going Devon Achane, which to me just offered some great value and upside. He's a young guy that, you took Jahmyr Gibbs there at 2-11. I think Devon Achane in the right situation, if he gets that role, could be just as explosive and just as big a difference maker. And I was able to get him at 4-6. I was kind of surprised he was still there. I would have thought actually, he would have probably looked great on Jared's team.
100%.
Instead of Jonathan Taylor, he would have been, I think, a nice fit. But I was happy to get him at 4-6. I was going between him and Kyren Williams, kind of back and forth, but I just took the upside. I took the youth and the upside. Mm-hmm. And the very next pick ended up being Kyren Williams. So I felt pretty validated that those were the two guys that I was looking at in that spot. And then
real quick, before you move on, I know for you, traditionally, running back is something that you tend to get later. And even though you prioritize tight ends, you typically get wide receivers early as well. How were you feeling having not gotten a wide receiver through four rounds?
Not good. This whole draft feels weird to me. I was trying to do something different. Yeah. So I was going not to my tendencies. I was getting out of my comfort zone a bit, and I wanted to see how I would feel when it was all done. You know what I mean? Having kind of fully played that thing out, I was going to go Justin Jefferson early, just to make myself feel good at that position and kind of see how everything fell. I didn't, and then I just completely kind of faded. For me, faded wide receiver. Just thinking, I missed out on Marvin, Rome, Malik Nabers, like the three young studs that I would have hoped to have gotten a little bit, maybe here in the fourth round or in the fifth round. Those guys are all gone. All the high name, big time assets are kind of off the board already as well. Just because there's that whole group of guys at the end of the rounds, at the beginning of the other rounds, right at the turns, that have just been going wide receiver really heavy and just kind of fading the quarterbacks. So that's the way it fell. I'm going with it. I'm seeing what I can do. And those are the kind of decisions you got to make on the fly. And I don't feel great about it, but I'm going to see where it goes. Right. That's kind of how I approached this draft. It feels inside like every one of these picks was like, All right. Yeah. No, I got to take it. I got to take Achane here. He's too good. I can't pass him up. I know that's not the position I would normally take, but I'm taking.
Right.
So like that's kind of, yeah, that's kind of how I was feeling, just very anxious during the whole thing. So, all right. So Kyren Williams went after me, and then 4-8 was Travis Etienne. 4-9 DJ Moore. That was a nice pick there. He was another guy I was hoping would maybe come back to me. Didn't. Yeah. And then Dalton Kincaid went at 4-10, and then you were up. I think Dalton Kincaid was a nice pick there. That was the guy, yeah, I would have probably taken over Trey McBride at the beginning of the round. He went 8 picks later at 4-10. No big deal.
Yeah. So a couple things are tickling in my brain at this point. One, I'm a little bit mad because I was considering Dalton Kincaid, and I'm also considering Kyle Pitts, who at this point is still there. So I was like, well, I did technically have Pitts a little bit higher than Kincaid, but Hockenson's still there too. Maybe people are forgetting about tight end. You know, Pitts is still there. Hockenson's still there. Andrews is still there. Maybe people are sleeping on tight end. So, you know, maybe I'll get lucky. We'll see.
we'll see.
Two, there's still a lot of quarterbacks that I like that are still out there. Mm-hmm. I already have two quarterbacks. So that's rolling around in my brain a little bit. But the thing that trumped all of it was Michael Pittman Jr. I love Michael Pittman Jr.
Pittman. Yeah, absolutely, man.
I've always loved Michael Pittman Jr. I think this next year with a full off season of Anthony Richardson, them getting that chemistry working together, we saw that when Richardson was there, Pittman was a focal point of the offense. I think that's going to continue to be that way this season. Maybe they add another weapon on offense. Maybe they don't. But either way, they paid Michael Pittman Jr. to be the guy for this team. So I felt really good getting him at the end of round four here.
No doubt, man. That was a nice pick. He was another guy I was crossing my fingers. I didn't think he was going to, but yep, I was crossing my fingers hoping he would get back to me. Because you know, you just never know. And yeah, you know, I took Achane there at 6-4-6 and was kind of very hopeful. But with the last pick in the fourth round, it was ended up going Drake May. So that was a nice spot for him. I can't believe absolutely, he kind of lasted that long. So real nice pick there in the last pick of the fourth round.
Yeah. I was considering him at that last pick that I just had of Michael Pittman. I was considering him at 5-2 as well. Obviously, he goes there. I think that was a great value. So starting off round five, Wonder Splitsons, he takes 102 in the 2025 draft. So he gets the second guy off the board. We don't know exactly how this class is going to play out. Maybe it'll be a quarterback. Maybe it won't be. But it should be a very valuable pick. So can't blame him for going there. Then here I'm back again, and I'm still thinking about tight end. All the tight ends are still there for me that I had just talked about. But I am a big believer in best player available in startup drafts. And to me, the quarterbacks, there were some good quarterbacks still falling.
Just screaming, right? I mean,
yeah. So I went with J.J. McCarthy. And look, am I convinced that J.J. McCarthy is the next great NFL quarterback? Not necessarily. But am I convinced that he's going to go top 15 in this draft? I absolutely am. Am I convinced that all the raw traits are there for him to be a very good NFL quarterback? Yeah, I am. So for me, you get a guy that's that young with that much upside, it's too good to pass up. So here I am in round five, and I have more quarterbacks than I do other positions, which is a little uncomfortable.
Exactly. It's you start getting tight, everything starts, you're like, what am I doing? But in the end, it's probably going to be a really good result, right? I mean, the long-term value of that position is fantastic. No matter what, J.J. McCarthy is a guy that, like you said, he's going to be in the top 15, if not the top 10 in the NFL draft. So him as trade bait alone is going to be makes this a fantastic piece. And if he ends up turning out and showing out, then you just hit the gold rush right there. So yeah, it's fantastic.
And sometimes what I like to do here is if I'm confident enough, which I'm not sure that I'm quite at that point with McCarthy, but if I'm confident enough, okay, instead of trading him and testing the market where everybody see what everybody feels about him, then maybe I look to trade one of the guys I already took, a Dak Prescott, a Patrick Mahomes, and see if I can strike gold. And okay, I'll trade Jared and I'll give him Patrick Mahomes, and he's going to give me Justin Jefferson and Marvin Harrison Jr. You know what I mean? Like, those are right. the types of things you ask for. He probably wouldn't do that, but that's the kind of thing you ask for when you make those kind of deals. So,
sure. Absolutely.
So we'll see. Right after me, I think I don't know if I'm off on this guy or everyone else is off. I don't know. It's probably me if everyone else likes him and I don't. I do not get the James Cook love. I do not get the James Cook in the fifth round. Like, and this isn't necessarily a bad pick. I see him going in this range often. I just don't get it personally. Are you a James Cook guy? Are you feeling this pick or no?
He's not a guy I'm going out of my way to get in the fifth round. If he's there when it's a value in like the seventh round, I feel a lot better about that. When guys have come off the board, like Kenneth Walker, Josh, you know, all these guys that kind of come after him, in our draft, if he's there after those guys come off the board, I would consider him, but, I'm not going out of my way to get him. Who knows? We all could be wrong. And, you know, he's done some really good things in the passing game and they don't necessarily look like they want to commit themselves to the run anytime soon there. And so I think he fits what they want to do on offense really well. So I'm not sure what it equates to as far as fantasy value. I don't know that he's ever going to have a large enough role where he's a top five guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And not that he's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He's the ninth guy off the board. But for me, I feel like he's more of closer to the running back two, range right. than he is high-end quarterback one's numbers.
I get you. And I'm totally with you. Next three picks off the board, all tight ends, Kyle Pitts, TJ Hockenson, Mark Andrews. My heart broke a little bit. I knew I was being greedy thinking they could come back to me, but no risk it, no biscuit.
You think your heart broke? I was up at
you're going to take two tight ends?
5-7. I was absolutely going to take a second tight end if one of those guys was there. I was going to completely fade this whole wide receiver class. All of the wide receivers was going to be thrown to the wayside, and I was going to get my second tight end. I swear I was.
I was 100% like, believe
right, you. The last one, Mark Andrews. I was like, dang it, right before. So here I am. This was another one that took me a little bit of time because I was scrambling. In my brain, I had already picked one of these tight ends because I was like, there's three of them that I'm going to take. There's only three people ahead of me. There's no way these guys are going to go all in a row. And of course they did. So I'm scrambling around. I was able to find T. Higgins. I really do love the upside there. I know that, you know, he's still paired up with Jamar Chase for now. But I do think, you know, it's nice to be able to match him with Joe Burrow as well, who was my first round draft pick. So yeah. I got a little bit of a stack there with Burrow and Higgins. And he's my de facto wide receiver one. Don't feel great about him as my wide receiver one. I would rather have a high-end guy have him as my second guy. But for now, he's my wide receiver one.
Yeah, he was one of those receivers that I would have been fine with. There's a few in that tier that I would have been totally okay with. And in fact, you got one of them here, and a little spoiler alert, you got one of the guys in that same tier for me that I would have been okay with in your next round. So a whole round later, you were able to get one of the other guys that I would have been fine with in this spot. So I think you did well there. Nico Collins went right after. Tank Dell went right after him. Those two guys were kind of in that same tier for me as well. So I think that's about the right range for all of them. Then we get Jared Wackerly back on the horn. And the direction he decides to go here is an interesting one. Because
it is interesting.
I'm a fan of this player. I have been. I've been a defender of this player. But right now, he technically isn't even a starting quarterback. And to have him as your quarterback one is ballsy. It's a ballsy move. So Jared Wackerly goes
way to put it.
He goes with Justin Fields as QB1 here at pick 510. Now, if he already had at least one, if not two quarterbacks, I think I'm okay with this. I think I can understand it at least. I still don't know that I would take him quite this high. There's a few guys I would probably take ahead of him just on them being a little bit more secure. But I get it. If he has other quarterbacks. but he does.
And Jared's going to, he's going to defend this pick. He's going to, you know, he's going to say that he's going to end up beating out, Russell Wilson at some point this year, if not right out of the gate,
which he might,
you know, which is fine. Yeah, he might. And that's okay. But to me, this is too early for a what if type of scenario. We all have seen the upside there. I mean, we know that he brings a lot to the fantasy football scoring realm and has a lot of potential there. I think he does have some things he has to work on though. And I think that's why they traded for him to sit on the bench and kind of not even learn from Russell Wilson, but just observe the game instead of being in the game and learn the kind of Steeler way of doing things. I don't think they have a plan to get him in the game. I think if something happened to Russell Wilson, he'd be fine and be able to operate. But I think their long-term plan for a guy like Justin Fields is for him to sit and kind of finally be able to take a breath in the NFL. Because I don't think that's something he's really been able to do since he got here. It's too early for me on this pick, but I don't want to sound like I'm poo-pooing Justin Fields, because I think this is actually a pretty good spot for him to kind of just get his bearings in the NFL.
Yeah, I like him with Tomlin too, guy that seems to be a really solid players coach, but also doesn't beat around the bush, tells guys what they need to hear. So I think I like that as a head coach fit for him. Next pick, Coach Stephen P., the last guy without a quarterback, does take one here in the fifth round. He ends up going with Deshaun Watson at pick 5-11. And then we've got Travis Kelce off the board at 5-12. So I'm going to let you take round six here, Matt, and we'll probably pause at round six and we'll finish the rest, round 7 through 15. We'll finish those in the Nerd Herd. Sound good to you?
Yep, man. Sounds great. Yeah. Perfect. So it was 6-1 right after the Travis Kelce pick. He ended up going Saquon Barkley. So back-to-back picks, Travis Kelce and Saquon Barkley, which I think is, they're fine picks there. You know, these are, we're getting into the realm like of players now that you're going to have to start making decisions. Do I just want to go with some of these older players that I know I'm only going to have for a few years, but they're going to help me win now? And I think that's when you have back-to-back picks, and you're picking Kelce and Saquon Barkley, you're saying, I want to win now. And you're kind of making your move. And that's when you do it, you know, when you have, you know, back-to-back close picks or whatnot, that's the best time to kind of make that statement. So not going to hate on that pick at all. 6-2 was Rashee Rice. And then 6-3, Devontae Smith, DK Metcalf, Jaden Reed. So these are all like, you know, Dang it. I really need wide receivers. Dang it. And then it comes to me, and I'm starting to feel a little bit better because I find a guy on my list that I really, really like. Didn't have a great, you know, rookie season. You alluded to it when I made the pick there for T. Higgins, that this is another young guy that has a ton of upside. I went Jackson Smith and Jigba here, and he was a guy that I was kind of contemplating with at the same point when I took T. Higgins. So, you know, we're kind of on the same page there as far as how we see him in the long term. Obviously, new coach, there's going to be some figuring out of how much passing they're actually going to be doing there and how much running. And obviously the long-term quarterback situation there, they've got Geno. They're giving him votes of confidence, all that good stuff now. It sounded like when they first flipped over, it was kind of, he's our quarterback. He's our starting quarterback for now, was the quotes coming out. And now all of a sudden Mike McDonald's is, you know, he's giving him a little bit more, you know, throwing some more roses on him a little bit.
We'll see though, so, because they have the Washington Huskies offensive coordinator there, and the Washington Huskies have a quarterback in this draft. So, you know, we'll see.
They sure do. I think that would be obviously a lot of conjecture is going to say, hey, this is going to be their pick. I don't know. Do you know where they pick in the first round?
I'd have to look. I don't know off the top of my head. I could find
it. I haven't been looking at mocks lately. No big deal. I'm sure somebody out there is screaming it at us. But anyway,
18.
With 18. Is it 18?
I don't know. I'm looking right now.
Are you? Oh, don't scream out numbers at us, Gary. You're throwing us all off.
I'm just saying, you know, that's what they're screaming, you know, hypothetically. All right, let's see. It is... Maybe they traded...
So they got no shot at Michael Penix then, unless they got the second round. Unless he slips. He could slip. Penix is a guy that has a pretty long injury history. I know he checked out okay at the combine.
I take that back. I see him. They're at pick 16. So they definitely could get him if they wanted him.
Yeah, that's a range where he could go if they really wanted him, for sure.
Yep.
All right. Well, anyway, like the Jaxon Smith-Njigba long-term, his value anyway, they're going to get somebody in there. Geno Smith is... he's a guy that's probably going to be there for the next couple of years while they usher in somebody new. At 6'7", the next person snapped up Zay Flowers in an instant. So I know that they were waiting on Flowers to kind of get there. And then Jordan Addison went. So out of those two people, Zay Flowers and Addison, I was teetering a little bit, Jaxon Smith-Njigba and Addison, just because Addison had a more impressive rookie season, obviously, from a statistical standpoint. So he was somebody I was considering there. So I think that's a pretty nice pick at 6'8". 6'9" was Josh Jacobs, and 6'10" was Kenneth Walker. And then you were up at 6'11". What did you do, Garrett?
So what if I told you that through six rounds, a team has twice as many quarterbacks as they do all the other positions combined?
I would say they've got four.
That's why you're an accountant. All right.
Exactly.
Look, for me, I was considering Kirk Cousins at pick 5'2".
Yeah.
He's 35, 36. I'd have to look at his exact age. Right around there.
He's 35 right now.
35. So to me, minimum of three good years left in him. Minimum. He's going to a situation with some awesome weapons, and there are teams that still have one quarterback. In fact, the team in front of me that just took Kenneth Walker only had one quarterback, and actually I was planning on taking Kenneth Walker there because I thought for sure he was going to take his second quarterback and it was going to be Kirk Cousins. To me, I don't think Kirk Cousins is that far off from the Jared Goff range. I get it. He's a little bit older than Jared Goff, and so that's where the difference is. But as far as top-end seasons, Kirk Cousins has done that and more so than Jared Goff has done.
Yeah. Through the first 5 weeks or whatever it was when he was healthy last year, he was a top-five guy. I mean, he was having his best year ever last year before he blew out his Achilles. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
So for me, it was simply one of those situations where I preach all the time, best player available. And I've got to do that. If I'm going to tell everybody, hey, take the best player on the board, regardless of the position, especially if we're drafting, this is in the end of March. The season doesn't start till September. You have so much time to make trades between then and now.
Yep.
So that's kind of what this came down to for me. He was the best player on my board once Kenneth Walker was gone. And so I'm going to go with the best player available in Kirk Cousins. So some people are going to be listening to this saying, you took four quarterbacks in the first six rounds. And I'm going to say, yes, that is exactly what I did.
Listen, I was actually thinking about him when I took Jaxon Smith-Njigba. And there was in the back of my mind, I was like, people are fading these. I was like, I'm going to take Jaxon Smith-Njigba. And if he makes it back to me, I'm for sure scooping him up. Because once I took Jaxon Smith-Njigba, he had gone all the way down the line. I'm like, I might actually be able to pull this off. Who the hell knows? Because I was like, Garrett's already got three. There's no way he's doing this again. So that's two of the picks out of the way. I was like, who knows? Maybe he'll come back to me. And then there he was, taken up by you. No big deal. But it was a good pick. I mean, obviously, you're going way out on a limb, and you're going to have to trade somebody at some point.
For sure.
But they're all solid players. It's not like you took anybody that's a scrub. Obviously, J.J. McCarthy is an unknown, but you've got three really solid quarterbacks and a nice rookie. So that's – you're really, really building a foundation at the quarterback position.
Cornerstones,
for
baby.
Sure. That's right. So with the last pick in the sixth round, Brian Thomas ended up going off the board. Wide receiver LSU. Is he the fourth? He's the fourth, right? Rookie?
Fourth wide receiver wide, rookie. Yeah. Yep.
Yep. Okay, fourth. So that's the fourth. Odunze was the one before him. And I actually have taken a look at Brian Thomas. He's got some good explosive movements to him. He's a big guy as well. So there's a lot to like there. I'm not going to dive too much because we're going to save that for the rookie pod this week, or this coming week. But nice player. I probably, if he had come back, he would have been on my team. You know what I mean? He just didn't make it.
Absolutely. So I am currently sharing, and as you can see, I'm covering up part of the after. Oh, you got a sneak peek there.
Whoa, a little preview. Whoa,
little slip there. but I'm covering up, or for the most part, covering up the seventh round and on. So you can see the first six rounds there. Real quickly, we'll go through the – well, we'll just go in order. Wonder splits in. He goes Josh Allen, Puka Nacua, Brock Bowers, Drake May, pick 102 in 2025, and then Brian Thomas. Team Dynasty Price, team quarterback over here, Patrick Mahomes,
QB,
Jahmyr Gibbs, Dak Prescott, Michael Pittman Jr., J.J. McCarthy, and Kirk Cousins. Then at pick 1-3, we have cuts deep. He went C.J. Stroud, Malik Nabers, Garrett Wilson, Dalton Kincaid, James Cook, and Kenneth Walker. The iced twee, he's got Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence, Christian McCaffrey, DJ Moore, Kyle Pitts, Josh Jacobs, K. Franks. He's got Jalen Hurts, Jordan Love, Chris Olave, Travis Etienne, TJ Hockenson, and Jordan Addison. Susie Cute, she's got Lamar Jackson, AJ Brown, Tua, Kyron Williams, Mark Andrews, and then Zay Flowers. So Team Baltimore over there. I just realized that.
Oh, wow.
Matt,
yeah.
You've got Joe Burrow, Sam Laporta, Brock Purdy, Devon Achane, T. Higgins, and Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Then obviously we've got the best team out there.
For sure. For sure. 100 million percent. Not a quarterback, though, that's for sure. And then we've got Joltency, I guess. Probably that's how you pronounce it. Caleb Williams, Breece Hall, Jaden Daniels, team rookie quarterback over there. We've got Brandon Ayuk, Nico Collins, and Jaden Reed. Jeb Bunks, he's got Anthony Richardson, Kyler Murray, Romo Odunze, Drake London, Tank Dell, and DK Metcalf. J-Wack, he's got Justin Jefferson, Marvin Harrison, Jonathan Taylor, pick 101 and 25, Justin Fields, and Devonta Smith. Then we've got Coach. He's still a little bit of the struggle bus there. then we've got, we're so mean, he's not even here to defend himself, but it's
fair. I know, that's why I'm doing it.
For sure.
100%.
I'd do it if he was here too. Coach Steve, he's got CeeDee Lamb, Bijan Robinson, Tyreek Hill, Trey McBride, Deshaun Watson, and Rashee Rice. And then a last D per T, he's got Ja'Marr Chase, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jaylen Waddle, Jared Goff, Travis Kelce, and Saquon Barkley.
And if you're following along on YouTube, just look at how blue that whole like side of the field is for them. The whole right side is just insanely blue.
It's the ocean.
A lot of wide receivers coming off the board early, and it almost just like cuts diagonally right across. It's kind of crazy.
Absolutely.
It's a nice little visual.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we will be back tomorrow. Unless, you know, you're listening to this a day late, then in moments. We'll be back in moments.
Yeah.
With the second half of our 2024 startup draft. Any other news or notes that you want to let the folks know, Matt?
Not at this point. Maybe at the end of the next show, I'll have something better.
All right. Sounds good. Let's get out of here.
Adios.